Alleluia. 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 Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the king of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell. All the fullness. What does it mean to say that for in Jesus Christ all the fullness was pleased to dwell? We have spoken on many times and discussed in Bible study time and eternity and the mystery of time in eternity and eternity in time. And we're not here today to have a lecture on time and eternity, but to call ourselves at this time of the year when we're ending one church year and beginning Advent next week to contemplate the mystery of time and eternity. For the key to all three of these readings is that they are one divine moment. They are one divine moment because God does not exist in time. He exists outside of time, in eternity, in an eternal now. For God, everything is now. Whether for us it's way in the past or long in the future, it is in him now, always now. So today, Paul speaks very poetically and very contemplatively of who Jesus is. And he says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible." We hear those words, the visible and the invisible, in our creed, and we will be speaking those words in just a few moments. We need to contemplate what the creed is telling us, because it is telling us that Jesus is consubstantial with the Father, that he's of the very same reality and being as the Father, that he existed before all time, that through him all things were made. The same thing that Paul is telling us here. And this is where they got the creed, or at least that part of it. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. Now, in our first reading, it doesn't say that David is the head of the body, the church, but the Israelites say, "In those days, all the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, 'Here we are, your bone and your flesh.' They identified themselves with their king. And they talk about Saul. And then the Lord said, "You shall shepherd my people Israel and shall be commander of Israel." When all the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron, King David made an agreement with them there before the Lord, and they anointed him king of Israel. From that point on, the king that was to come was to be the David, the Messiah, the one chosen by God to be the head of Israel. David had to die, so he couldn't be it eternally. But there was a promise of a future king, a king whose kingdom would never end, a king whose life would never end. And we will see that king at the end of time, when he comes as our God and Lord and Savior, our King. Jesus shows what kingship consists of in his kingdom. Jesus died on the cross. The king dies for his people. The king offers himself up in love. The king offers everything that he has and is. And we are part of his body. So when one part of the body suffers, when he suffers, we suffer. And conversely, when we suffer, he suffers. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. How is it that Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God? That is a great mystery. We cannot answer this and think of ourselves as anything but fools. If we know the answers, then we aren't contemplating. We need to enter more and more each day into the mystery of God's presence in our lives. And he is present to us. He's present to us every time we come to this holy sacrifice of the Mass. He is here in his body and blood, giving himself to us. And he asks us to incorporate us, ourselves, make ourselves part of his body, incorporate into his body in such a way that one day we will become him. There's a transformation that is supposed to happen with us. And it happens both in time and in eternity. It's a very mysterious concept, but we have to, as Catholics, seek a little bit more out of the mystery. That is why the rituals in the Mass are so established that they point us in the right direction. This is not as much a vertical thing, a horizontal thing. It's a vertical thing. God in his heavens comes down to earth where we offer up ourselves to him. So every time we come to this sacrifice of the Mass, we enter into the mystery of Jesus' cross. This is Golgotha. This is Calvary. And it's also Sinai and all those other holy moments in the Old Testament, even David being anointed as king. Now, we see something else here. There's something in the New Testament. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one." The soldiers jeered at him. And the criminals jeered at him. Boy, what a motley crew. And yet sometimes we jeer at him. We don't expect him to do some of the things that he does, or we blame him for things in our lives. Things that happen that are just accidents, we blame God for. "I'm not going to believe in God because this happened or that happened." So we have to be aware of the fact that we're called to be more like Jesus than the criminals. Then one of those criminals is much better off than even the rulers, the government, or anybody. And he says, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." And he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That should be our prayer each and every day. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus is already in the kingdom, and he does remember us. The mystery of the cross tells us that he not only saw all the people that were around him at the crucifixion, But he also saw every man, woman, and child of the past and every man, woman, and child of the future. That means he saw us while he was on the cross. He saw us and he loved us and he prayed to his Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And isn't that the truth of humanity? That it never seems to come completely to knowing what it is doing. It does all sorts of horrible things to other people. It speaks ill of other people. It does all sorts of things which it justifies in the name of God even. But Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That's the remedy to our waywardness. That's the remedy to everything we've ever done. So today, we have this opportunity to come to the Mass once more. And we sometimes just kind of gloss through it and maybe don't pay attention. But we really need to. All the words of the Mass are our salvation. All the words of the Mass are coming from the Scriptures. All the words of the Mass are coming to us from a God who says, the world is good. He doesn't mean that it's perfect in itself. It's perfect in him. So when we cooperate with the Lord's grace, when we accept his grace, when we ask him for grace, we eliminate an awful lot that we repent of because we are entering into the transformative action of his holy sacrifice of the Mass. If we come to penance, we are transformed. God doesn't say, get out of here, you awful sinners. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. He says, come to me. I will be merciful to you. Just repent. And if you don't repent completely, just do it in little bits. The priest is never going to stand here and yell at you for not being perfect. The priest isn't even perfect. None of us are perfect. We are seeking perfection, though, because Jesus tells us to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. He's calling to us, saying, I really do love you. I created this world so that you and all those who I have thought of from eternity will be saved and with me forever. He calls us to enter into this eternity today. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our Father David that is to come.